So earlier today, the Kansas City Star reported that Missouri has an offer on the table from the Southeastern Conference. It also said that the SEC is willing to wait on the Big 12's future to be decided before pursuing such an endeavor with Missouri. However, in the last hour or so, the SEC, via Associate Commissioner Charles Bloom, has made a statement and said that all such reports are untrue. However, I am making a statement right now saying all such reports about such reports are untrue. I think the SEC can quibble over semantics all at once. The bottom line is that I do believe that something is being worked out right now with Missouri. I think the SEC is very upset that this story got out before it was maybe a little premature, but I think the SEC, that's why you're seeing the backlash from Associate Commissioner Charles Bloom. But I do believe the SEC is now in talks with Missouri, which would be the Phantom 14th team that everybody was talking about, that the SEC may have acquired him after all. Now let's bring in the college football professor, as he is with us every Tuesday to talk about, first of all, let's discuss this conference expansion. Do you have any thoughts on the potential of Missouri being involved in the SEC?
Well, I personally think Missouri would be a good choice. I hear a lot of people talking about it not being. You know, Missouri has a stadium. It seats 68,000. Last year, their average home crowd was about 65,000. They've got a lot of people in that area. I think they have good teams. I don't know, but it is a long way. But I think it's a good addition.
I think it's better than West Virginia. If you read my column, you know how I feel about West Virginia. I think that would have been a disastrous move for the SEC, but I think it's better than West Virginia. Good, I won't go that far, but I think it. If you have to compliment Texas A&M and Oklahoma is simply not achievable, then I think Missouri may be the team. All right, let's move on now to what we do every week, and that, of course, is talk about the previous week and preview the next one. So without further ado, Mr. Professor, why don't you open us up?
Well, Jacob, as we began a few weeks ago, we compared the beginning of football season with the baking of bread. And we talked about the enjoyment of the aroma of bread baking and the excitement of football. Well, for some, the bread is burning. And for others, they forgot to turn on the oven. However, as a whole, what a season we have underway. So let's just think about this. First of all, let's look at the week that has passed. Now, when we look at last week, Jacob, would you agree that there are some things that were just a big deal? For instance, Oklahoma over Florida State, Vanderbilt over Ole Miss, LSU over Mississippi State, Army over Northwestern, Houston. Think about that. They beat Louisiana Tech. Well, what's so big about that? Well, Louisiana Tech led 34-7. Late in the third quarter, Houston won 35-34.
It was an incredible week from one end of the country to the other.
We might also add that Oklahoma State and Tulsa, they started their game, actually kicked off at 12 midnight. Now, that was because of a lightning delay, they say. I'm not sure. I think it was Oklahoma State trying to get used to playing at that time of day when they go into the Pac-12.
It could be. That was a late start. I didn't exactly know what was going on. I hear it now for the first time that it was a lightning delay, but I knew it started later than I stayed up. I will tell you that much.
Another thing as we look at the week that was is our picks. We did okay, but the couple of those that we picked, we picked Clemson and Ole Miss to win. As we know, we picked Auburn and Ole Miss to win, but Clemson
we
and Vanderbilt.
We didn't pick Ole Miss.
Oh, we didn't? I did. The old professor picked Ole Miss to beat Vanderbilt.
But you sure got me on one.
And I think that was that was really, really wrong. And so that leaves us. We did pick
I think you got me on one, though, didn't you?
Yes, we did pick Oklahoma to beat Florida State, and we picked LSU to beat Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So the old professor now, after 3 weeks, is 26-4 out of 30 picks.
Wow. Well, that's not too bad. 26-4, that I don't know what the percentage is. It's a pretty high percentage.
What we're going to do now is look at some, just for the fun of it, let's talk about power ratings. or power rankings of our teams. And let's think, I guess we could think in terms of the SEC and the nation. And when I think about that, SEC, I listed my power rankings in this order. I put LSU, Alabama kind of an equal number one. Then Arkansas, Florida, and South Carolina. How do you look at it?
No, you're saying that those are like in the second tier tied like LSU and Alabama are in the first tier?
I'm just saying if we looked at the power ranking, we'd see number one, Alabama or LSU. Number two, Alabama or LSU. Number three, Arkansas. Gotcha. Four, Florida. And five, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that at all. I think a lot of people may have overestimated Tennessee, may have overestimated Auburn with a couple of mediocre wins against Mississippi State and Cincinnati in week two. But the bottom line is we saw Saturday who was really good and a team like Florida. We saw South Carolina struggle. I'm not sold on South Carolina yet. I think South Carolina has struggled with Navy. They have struggled with East Carolina. They had to have a defensive heroics to beat Georgia a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know about South Carolina. I am really interested to see them play Vanderbilt this weekend.
On the national level, I listed the teams this way. I put Oklahoma number one, LSU two, Alabama three, Wisconsin four, and Boise State five.
Yeah, I don't really find a fault with that.
And I had right on the edge Nebraska, and you'll be surprised about this one, and Florida.
Now, you had those at like number 6 and 7?
Well, I was just saying right on the edge of our
of Nebraska's five. Good. Nebraska's an underrated team, and they definitely have potential. Florida, here's what I'll say about Florida. They have two players that really boost their offense, Chris Rainey and Jeffrey Demps. Now, the problem is for Tennessee, they didn't stop either one of those guys. It's going to be interesting in the future to see if teams do that. I think, and I'm looking at a game in 2 weeks against Alabama, that Florida's going to have a real tough time running on that Alabama defense. So Florida's got bigger fish to fry before I'm going to call them that good.
Well, I think Texas A&M and Oklahoma State play this week, and the winner of that game will probably begin to be trending in the direction of being one of the top power
teams. It's a big game, yeah.
A couple of teams that I thought, not necessarily in the top power ranking, but two teams that I thought were trending up are Florida and Florida International. Those two teams are trending up. And then there are a couple that I think are trending down, and that's Boston College and New Mexico. Now, think about this, Jacob. New Mexico this week will play New Mexico State. Now, that's the Lobos and the Aggies getting together. Now, the Aggies are the newcomers to the block, so to speak, because, I mean the Lobos are. The Aggies, of course, they got a historic record. They've been to three bowls in 1935 and 1959 and 1960.
Yeah.
But the new kid on the block, the Lobos, they've been to five bowls since 2000.
Wow.
So these two powerhouses, with one win together, are going to meet on the gridiron this coming Saturday.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm afraid I'm probably going to miss that game, though, the New Mexico Bowl. I will say one thing on Boston College. I thought the end of that game was very interesting. You had, of course, Boston College missing a field goal by it, hitting the upright, and it wasn't more than an extra point against Duke. When you get beaten by Duke on your own home field like that, missing a field goal, then you're in real trouble. So Boston College is on the wrong track. Okay, let's go to this week's picks, and you have the games selected. We've, like you said, done 10 games per week, and you're 26-4. What am I?
Well, you're doing quite well.
Okay, but that's what we do, and so this week's 10 games, and what are they?
First of all is Alabama and Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is 1-5.
I thought, most of the time you start with games like Texas State and Texas Tech, games that, a little bit easier. Alabama, Arkansas is pretty tough.
Well, they got pushed off the stage by this game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Razorbacks from Arkansas. You realize, Jacob, that Arkansas is 1-5 since 1999 in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
Their last game in Tuscaloosa, they got beat 35-7.
Mm-hmm.
And also, did you know that Coach Petrino is 4-8 on the road in the SEC? And the University of Alabama, this is a surprising thing, has won 19 straight SEC openers.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Last year, they trailed Arkansas, as you know, 20-7 in midway through the third quarter. And they came back and won the game 24-20.
Right.
So I'm picking Alabama.
It's hard for me to go against Alabama at home. It's just too much. And I think Tyler Wilson will have a tough day. I think he's a great quarterback, and I think they can exploit Alabama's defense. The problem is he's on the road, and I just don't know how he's going to react to 100,000 strong in Bryant-Denny Stadium. So I'm going to stick with Alabama cautiously, though, because I think this is the best matchup right now in the SEC. You got an offensive mind in Bobby Petrino. I think he's the best offensive coach in the league against the best defensive coach, Nick Saban. So it's always a great matchup.
The second game is LSU versus West Virginia. Now, this will be the first trip for LSU to Morgantown. Mm-hmm. Now, last year, the LSU won the game 20-14 after leading 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Coach Miles is 65-17 since he's been at LSU.
Yes, he is.
It's going to be quite a good game. This match brings LSU with its great defense against West Virginia and whatever kind of offense they're running now.
Well, I ratted on West Virginia's program with my column as being not fit for the SEC, but I'm not going to rat on them in this game. I think they win the game. I think Geno Smith is I watched a little bit of that game against Maryland on the replay and some of the highlights. I think this West Virginia team may be underrated right now. I think they're very good. And here's the deal with LSU. They're very good. They're probably a better team on 9 out of 10 weeks against West Virginia. But they have played, and this is the month of September for them, and this is exactly why I'm picking West Virginia in this game. They played Oregon and Arlington. They've only played one game in Tiger Stadium, and that's against Northwestern State. They played Mississippi State in Starkville, and now they travel to Morgantown. That's too many road trips. LSU eventually is going to get tired, and I think they lose it this weekend against West Virginia.
I'm going to pick Auburn to defeat Florida Atlantic. Now, this will be the last year for a legendary coach at Florida Atlantic.
Howard Schnellenberger.
Georgia and Ole Miss. The Bulldogs have won 8 straight games at Ole Miss. I'm going to call this the hot seat challenge, Georgia and Ole Miss. So I'm picking Georgia to win the game, even though it's being played at Ole Miss.
Well, you know, it is. You're right. It's the hot seat challenge, the job saver game, whatever you want to call it. And Georgia, I think, is Mark Richt is in a more precarious position in this game than Houston Nutt, because I think Houston Nutt's done. I mean, even Pete Boone, the athletic director at Ole Miss, came out and said, losing to Vanderbilt is not acceptable, and it shouldn't be at any SEC school like they did. I mean, they got beaten by 23 points. So, with all that being said, Georgia wins the game because there's much more pressure on Mark Richt to win the game.
South Carolina and Vanderbilt. South Carolina is 16-4 versus Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
and it's being played at South Carolina. Now, here's the thing. Vanderbilt is undefeated, so is South Carolina. But you can't put a new patch on old clothing. So I'm picking South Carolina to defeat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, I agree. South Carolina will defeat them, even though I'm on the Vanderbilt bandwagon, and I picked them last week when everybody else was picking Ole Miss. But I think they get beat this week. But I think it'll be a close game. I like Vanderbilt's defense against Stephen Garcia. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
I'm picking Florida to defeat Kentucky.
Yeah.
Florida has 11 straight wins in Lexington. The last time they lost there was in 1986. Last year, Florida, in the first quarter, was ahead 31-0. They had 233 yards to a -16.
Yeah, Florida's got that. They're going to handle that one easily.
Wisconsin over South Dakota. Now, they've had one meeting.
Here it is. I was waiting on it. Here it is.
Well, you got to remember that South Dakota and Wisconsin have only met one time, and that was in 1975.
What is South Dakota's nickname?
Well, I'm not sure about that,
okay.
But I'll tell you this.
I don't know either. I was hoping somebody knew.
the South Dakota, in their one meeting, Wisconsin won 48-7. But remember this. Last year, South Dakota defeated a Big Ten sour team by the name of Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, Minnesota doesn't count as a Big Ten team last year. I'm going to take Wisconsin in this one.
The next one would be Florida Atlantic University over Louisiana Lafayette. I'm picking the...
You mean Florida International.
Yeah, Florida International.
Florida Atlantic's playing Auburn.
Yeah, excuse me. Florida International University to beat Louisiana Lafayette. I'm believing...
Who is the coach of Florida International? Because whoever it is, don't you think he'll be offered some jobs soon? I mean, what a job.
He's doing quite well, but the Raging Cajuns will go down this week.
Yeah, I agree. Florida Atlantic, they're on a roll.
I'm picking Virginia Tech to defeat Marshall. It's being played at Marshall. The Hokies last visited Huntington, West Virginia, in 1940, and they lost that game. But I'm picking the Virginia Tech Gobblers to Hokies to win this game.
I mean, you ever just sit around and scratch your head and wonder why Mississippi State takes trips to Memphis and UAB and Virginia Tech takes trips to Marshall? It just baffles the mind sometimes with these great programs to go on road trips to these second-tier teams. But in the game, I'm sure Virginia Tech will win.
And the last pick will be South Florida over UTEP. Now, remember, Lou Holtz is 2-0 versus the Miners. So at Raymond James Stadium this week, I'm picking South Florida to defeat the University of Texas, El Paso.
Yeah, well, I like Lou Holtz's record against the Miners. I think Skip can get on the board here with a win. So I'm going to pick South Florida as well. Okay, well, let's move on now. In the final 2.5 minutes, what do you have for us on this Chalk Talk, information that moves the meter?
Oh, well, there are a lot of things that are happening, and some of this information is going to move the meter. First of all, you remember Kentucky struggled to beat Western Kentucky the first game of the year, 14-3.
Well, they haven't beaten anybody decidedly yet anyway.
Well, Western Kentucky, who is now 0-3, think about this. They lost last week to Indiana State 44-16. That says something.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I'm going to call, talk about the Oregon State UCLA game. Oregon State is 0-2, UCLA is 1-2. I'm going to call this the Wimp Bowl.
Okay.
Now, there's one game that's flying under the radar that I think is a big game, and that's Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. This is going to be quite a game, and it's going to determine a lot. And the next thing that I would want to mention is the fact that the University of Kansas gave up 66 points to Georgia Tech last week. Now, think about this. Kansas, who gave up 66 points to Georgia Tech, will now play in their next games Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Kansas State, Texas, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas A&M, and Missouri.
Wow.
I'm not thinking the Jayhawks are going to come out very well this season.
Might be a down year for those in Lawrence. They can look forward to basketball season, though, at least one more year before their conference is left out in the cold by conference expansion, right?
That's right. And I want to share one more thing with you. On November the 5th, as you well know, LSU will be playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
I think that might be a little interesting.
But there's another game that's going to be an earth shaker as well.
Oh, I forgot about New Mexico State and Georgia.
No, it's going to be Kentucky and Ole Miss.
Okay.
Now, Kentucky and Ole Miss will play on November the 5th, just like LSU and Alabama will play.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. We don't know what kind of marbles the Ole Miss LSU and Alabama be playing for. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that Kentucky and Ole Miss will be playing to decide which team wins only 4 games in 2011.
Well, they might can both do it. We'll see.
Well, that's about it. Okay. When we think about this college football season, Jacob, it's quite a we're having quite a season.
Yeah,
there are a lot of things that will happen soon.
Do you think CBS will use their 6-day window there on the Kentucky Ole Miss?
I would imagine they're looking at that quite very closely.
I don't know. I wouldn't imagine that one would be on CBS. All right. Well, thanks, Professor. Good to see you. We'll be back again next Tuesday. As we continue, good stuff. Another great weekend of college football upcoming.